Is the Mass in the Scriptures? Of course not. The words are, "My Lord and my God." You all recognize that. That was the greatest confession of all by Thomas, when he was asked to plunge his hand in the side of Christ and to feel the nail holes. He couldn't even do it. He just fell on his feet in front of Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." He didn't fall in front of a picture of him. He didn't fall in front of wafer and cup. Well, the problem with Romanism is that Rome always materializes the spiritual. And what the Roman Catholic Church has done with the Mass is they've materialized a spiritual truth. They have made into an object which cannot be comprehended. They have made into an object that can be comprehended the incomprehensible sacrifice of Christ. They have taken the immaterial, the once and for all sacrifice for Christ, and they've materialized it into a operation that they can transport around the world. And they take what everybody knows was just a wafer pancake, and the priest, which, by the way, in the Middle Ages, many, and I'm not being critical, many priests in the Middle Ages were living dissipated lives. See, how do you know that? You ever heard of Chaucer? Canterbury Tales? Middle Age Britain? The Canterbury Tales are stories about the Roman Catholic Church and people on pilgrimages, and it talks about the debauchery and the drunkenness and the vile lives, and it's a parody, and it's a historical fiction, but yet behind the fiction is a lot of truth. And you know what Chaucer said about the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages? He said, "If the gold doth rust, what will the iron do?" You say, what does that mean? He says, if the churchmen, who are supposedly gold, are so corrupt, what are common people like? And so those commoners would look at that dissipated priest, and there are just as many dissipated Protestant priests and clergymen, I'm sure, as there are Roman, but those people that would see him, and they knew how he lived all week long. And as they saw him walk into the cathedral and take a piece of normal bread, and by going hocus corpus meum, change into Jesus, they'd say, "That's the greatest thing I've ever seen." And so they became enchanted even with the process and not with the person. Well, let me read a little bit more from the Council of Trent, and then I want to take you on a journey through the Scriptures. This is when Rome got to write down exactly what they believed from 1545 to 1564. This is what they said. They made 120 affirmations. Trent, the Council of Trent, has 120 affirmations of Roman Catholic doctrine. And this is what they said. "In this divine sacrifice," and I'm talking about the priest holding on to this host, "is contained and immolated in an unbloody matter the same Christ who once offered himself in a bloody matter." So it's not us blaming him. That's exactly what they want to do. They say, "We are taking Jesus who offered himself once in a bloody matter, and we are going to immolate and offer him in an unbloody matter constantly." Why? This is what it says. Continuing, I'm just reading from the Council of Trent, from your library. "This is truly propitiatory, for the victim is one and the same. Now he offers himself by the ministry of priests, not for the sins of the faithful who are living, or not only for the sins of the faithful who are living, but also for those who departed in Christ and were not yet fully purified." What does that mean? They died in their sins, is what Jesus called it. And what he's saying is they're still suffering in purgatory. And so the Mass purports to have efficacious salvation attachments, not just for the people that sit out there and watch this, but who are required to come at least once a year, but also for the people that are dead, to help them get to heaven. And that's why I wrote these words. Do you understand that Romanism is the most magnificently crafted religion for humans? Think about it. What if Uncle Zeke died an alcoholic, a drunkard, and, you know, didn't quite make it? It's okay. You can burn candles and have masses said for him. And if you do enough, Uncle Zeke will someday make it to heaven. Isn't that a great religion? You never have to worry about anybody not making it. It was a religion designed for humans. Because we don't like thinking about there are people that are going to deny Christ and they're going to spend an eternity in conscious torment because they died in their sins. And so Romanism says that's too bleak. It's too difficult. We have something else for you. I know that's oversimplifying it, but that's really what it's about. It's very sad. Last thing from Trent. The decrees of Trent say, a true and a real sacrifice is not offered to God by priests who offer Christ's body and Christ's blood, or that the sacrifice of the Mass is not a propitiatory one. If anyone ever says that that is true, they are damned. That's called an anathema. In other words, what they said is, if you don't believe that the priests are re-offering Jesus Christ, then you don't go to purgatory, you go to hell. And that's the bottom line of the Catholic Church.